Chapter 21. The Cops. A tall, burly police officer with a mustache that rivaled Tom Selleck's on Magnum P.I. stepped out of the cruiser closest to Robert.
"It's over, boys," he said gravely. "Dr. Howard said if you return the part you stole, he won't file charges."
"Never!"
Chris shouted in an immature tone. Robert whipped his head toward Chris, surprised by the outburst.
"Right?"
he asked his club's leader.
"There's nothing we can do, Chris," Robert admitted. "We're surrounded. They've won."
Still smarting from his sprained ankle, Robert gingerly set his bike's kickstand in place and dismounted. Then he slowly opened the secret compartment in the back of his bike and retrieved a long, silvery piece of metal. Finally, he stepped over to the officer and handed him the contraption.
"Here," he said, defeated.
"Thanks, son,"
he said, while placing the trinket in his back pocket.
"Now let's get you boys home. We'll be following close behind, so no tricks this time."
Chris shot a daring look at Robert, as if to say,
"Come on, we can make a break for it."
Having been on the same wavelength since kindergarten, Robert practically read his mind. For a moment, Chris was ready to sprint away, but instead, Robert dashed his hopes.
"It's no use," he said somberly, as he returned to his bike to release the kickstand. "They already have the laser."
After hopping on, Robert made sure the officer was back behind the wheel with the door closed before leaning in to furtively add,
"It's just not the real one."
"Huh?"
Chris asked. Robert slyly flashed the contents on the inside of Rennie's floppy hat. It was Dr. Howard's laser from the lab. Thoroughly confused, Chris asked,
"Then what did you just give?"
Before he could finish, Robert explained as the two pair of bikes and cop cars began slowly traveling towards Robert's home several blocks away.
"I knew we might get into a jam like this, so I created a decoy," he said. "I swiped a piece of copper pipe from my dad's toolbox."
"Mint,"
Chris said.
"Awesome,"
Rennie squealed in turn.
"Well, I can't take all the credit,"
Robert confessed with as much modesty as he could muster.
"I got the idea from an episode of MacGyver."
"I knew there was a good reason to watch that show,"
Chris cracked. Just then, Robert's foot accidentally slipped off his bike's footrest, and he barked in pain. Rennie's puppy dog eyebrows rose in sympathy.
"What's the matter?"
he asked.
"I sprained my ankle in the forest after getting thrown off my bike by a squirrel,"
Robert explained.
"A squirrel?"
Chris asked skeptically, leaning in for another turn down the block.
"Never mind,"
Robert said.
"It's why I was late. Anyway, I have bigger problems now."
"What's that?"
Rennie asked.
"Facing my father," Robert said.
When the four vehicles arrived at Robert's house, Chris and Rennie wished him luck before being escorted away again by the cops toward their respective homes. Robert wondered what fate awaited his friends. After all, their parents weren't much more understanding than his. But that was their problem now. After stashing his bike in his family's backyard shed, Robert swallowed a deep breath of crisp night air before hobbling over to his home's rear entrance. Worryingly, the patio light ignited before he even reached the door. There, standing in the doorframe, was the hulking shadow of his father. This wasn't going to be easy. As a mock courtesy, Stan opened the back door for Robert and gruffly ordered,
"Get in."
As Robert stepped inside, head bowed low, he felt like he was 6 years old again, getting caught stealing an Oreo from the kitchen pantry. Absently, he wondered if he should bend over as his dad removed his belt to spank him. A miniature laser worth thousands of dollars was a far cry from an Oreo. It was even a far cry from a turbocharger. He knew a simple spanking wasn't nearly a high enough price.
"Sit down," Stan continued his orders, pointing to a kitchen chair.
Robert carefully seated himself, still favoring his swollen ankle and wondering where his mother was. He suddenly realized that she wasn't kidding when she had told him she could no longer protect him. Robert was utterly alone.
"What were those cops doing outside our house?"
his father asked.
"Just what in the hell are you and your friends up to?"
Robert paused to compose himself, as if by stalling long enough, he could come up with the perfect answer,
no matter how futile that idea sounded.
But his dad only allowed a few seconds.
"Answer me, Robert,"
he demanded angrily.
"Fine," Robert said,
all out of excuses at that point.
"Chris, Rennie, and I broke into Dr. Howard's lab."
"You what?"
Stan asked, astonished.
We entered his basement laboratory,"
Robert stammered, substituting the euphemism "entered" for "broke into," but his father wasn't fooled.
"We borrowed a laser device he invented the other day."
Stan crossed his trunk-like arms across the wide barrel of his chest, and Robert briefly flashed back to all the fallen logs his bike had ridden over earlier that afternoon.
"Why in the world did you do that?"
Stan asked. Robert switched course and made a weak attempt at humor, referencing a popular song that he had overheard his father singing in the car one day.
"Don't worry, Dad," Robert said. "Be happy."
Stan stared him down with a pinpoint focus, as if the laser that Robert snatched from Dr. Howard's lab was now powering his pupils. Robert sighed as he realized his father wasn't buying it.
"Don't tell me another lie like you sold it or lost it."
"No, I didn't sell or lose it," Robert said. "I gave it back to the police."
Now Stan began angrily pacing back and forth in front of his son like a warden guarding his prisoner.
"Boy," he began, "if I find out you're lying..."
"No, honest, Dad," Robert interrupted. "You can call the police if you don't believe me."
"I just might do that," Stan said, grabbing Robert's leg.
"Ow!"
Robert squealed as he further twisted his sprained ankle.
"Come now," Stan said in a more measured tone of voice. "I didn't grab you that hard."
"No, it's not that," Robert said. "I sprained my ankle today."
From the stairs, a feminine voice cried out in alarm.
"What happened?"
Robert's mother came rushing into the kitchen from the hallway, and it was at that moment he realized he wasn't alone after all. She had been listening to the conversation the entire time.
"I sprained my ankle when I fell off my bike," he repeated. "Oh, you poor thing," his mother replied,
her supportive voice oozing an overdose of sympathy in an attempt to cover up the lack from her husband.
"I'll go fetch some bandages."
As she retreated to the nearest bathroom, Stan was relentless.
"I told you that bike of his was dangerous," he called to his wife,
who was fiddling in the cabinet beneath the sink. She then returned with an ace bandage.
"Which ankle is it, sweetie?"
she asked, kneeling to the floor. Robert pointed to his left ankle, and after he removed his sneaker and lifted the lower cuff of his jeans, his mother began lovingly wrapping the bandage around his foot.
"You come from good genes, Robert,"
his father suddenly said, as if continuing an inner monologue no one else had been privy to.
"How could you be so stupid?"
"Stan,"
his wife scolded, turning her face toward him while still wrapping her son's ankle in the gauzy material.
"Have a heart. He sprained his ankle today."
"I don't care if he sprained his brain," he replied.
Then pivoting to his son, he gave his verdict.
"You're grounded for an entire month."
"But Dad,"
Robert whined.
"I don't want to hear it," his father bellowed. "That's it. End of story."
He then barged off upstairs to retreat to his bedroom. It was getting late, and he had to get up early for work the next day. After a moment of silence, as if to let what had just transpired sink in, Robert's mother lifted her head to speak.
"Your father means well," she tried explaining. "And he does love you. He just has a funny way of showing it sometimes."
"Yeah," Robert said.
"Really funny. I wish I was laughing."
Choosing not to respond, as she knew it was an argument she wouldn't win, his mother finished tightening the bandage on Robert's ankle and stood up.
"There,"
she said, softly patting his wounded leg.
"Right as rain." "Thanks, Mom,"
Robert said.
"Of course,"
she said, smiling with affection.
"Now, go upstairs to wash up. I'll tell the school tomorrow you need a day to rest. Maybe I'll take you to Dr. Jacobs."
"Okay," he said, and slowly got up from his chair. After climbing the stairs one careful step at a time, Robert passed his parents' bedroom as he walked toward the master bathroom. With the door half open, he caught a glimpse of his father getting ready for bed. They locked eyes for a moment, and then Robert continued hobbling away. Before he reached the bathroom, his father called out, a bit guilt-stricken.
"Do you need any help?"
"That's okay,"
Robert replied.
"I can manage."
"All right,"
his dad said. He was about to say more when Robert closed the bathroom door behind him.